Tell him to stay back there. Tell him to stay with his mama. He's going back and forth. How y'all doing tonight? It's good to see you all. We thank you for being here this morning, those of you who were here and engaging in a study with us in the third chapter of Exodus. We want to continue within that same chapter, but we want to look at it from a different lens. This morning we talked about when God called Moses and the scenario or the situation or what was taking place when God called Moses. We noticed that God will call Moses when he was busy. He called him when the situation was bleak. And he also called Moses when he had attempted what he was doing before, but had not received any results, or there was a barren results. Today, we want to look into Exodus, the third chapter, just for a few minutes, a little bit more. And then we want to study there for a little bit. So we look at, if you go back to Exodus, the second chapter, you realize that the Exodus in the second chapter ends with the king or Pharaoh dying and the Israelites groaning about their slavery and praying to God about the situation that they've been in. Right. But chapter 2, verse 23 says, after a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of their slavery, their cry for help rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites and took notice of them. And then let's move on to chapter 3, verse 7. It says, then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites, now come to me. I have also seen the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. From this passage of scripture, I would like to offer you up a topic or a title that simply says, they didn't see him coming. They didn't see him coming. At the end of chapter 2, the children of Israel are crying out to God. And what I want you to understand is that they're crying out because they have had many years of oppression, many years of slavery, many years of mistreatment. We know that they had at least 40 years of mistreatment. Well, how do we know that? Because we know when Moses left at the age of 40, the reason why he left is because he was fighting on their behalf. And now he's 80, and we're seeing some of the same things going on. So we know for sure that the Israelites had been suffering underneath the Egyptian Pharaoh for a long period of time. What happens in history, if you look at it from a historical standpoint, is when the Pharaoh died, criminals many times were set free, and the change of guard meant that there could be some change amongst the people. So what happens is in chapter 2, you notice it said after a long time, Pharaoh died, and then they began to pray. Now, it's not to say they were not praying previous to Pharaoh dying, but the children of Israel realized that at the death of Pharaoh, this was an opportune time for them to be free. And they have cried, they are upset, they have been oppressed, and they're crying out to God. And what I love so much about it is that when they cried out to God, God activated Moses. I need you to understand this. God heard their cry, remembered his covenant, and then activated Moses. And when he heard him, he gave Moses some very specific orders. The thing that I love the most about it is that even though they were still in the midst of going through their trials, God was already at work. And they were struggling and they were crying, and God was sending Moses to rescue them, and they didn't even see him coming. I love the idea that my God hears my prayers and addresses my needs, and sometimes I don't even know that he's coming, but he's on his way. Isn't that a good thing? Because sometimes we go through things and we don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know what's going to happen to us. But you can rest assured that when you pray to God, he hears you and he is activating a plan for you to get out. He's activating a plan for you to escape. He's activating a plan for you to be able to receive some relief and some refuge. Now, those plans may differ. Right? This morning we talked about the idea that sometimes God helps you overcome your situation by putting you to work. Sometimes when you're in the situations are most bleak, God will give you something to do that'll help you overcome. But in this particular situation with the Israelites, the Bible said that God, he says, I see the affliction of my people. This should be, and I don't want to be long, but I want you to be encouraged with this passage of scripture, because God too does a number of things, but in point number one, he sees everything that's going on. But what's even more endearing to me is not only that he sees, he says, I see the affliction of my people. God sees what's going on, but he doesn't just see with it. He associates your pain with him as your father. See, this, I see a lot of stuff. I see a lot of stuff. But when things happen and I see things happening to my children, it makes me act a little different. Yeah, am I the only person like that? I work in a school system, so I see kids be mean sometimes. I see kids fight. I respond to all of those situations, everyone that I see. But when somebody is mean to my child, my response is a little different. God says, I see the affliction of my people. What does God see? Nothing escapes the view of God. If you turn to Psalms 139, it says, no place can hide from God. God sees everything. And he sees things that you don't even think matter. The good thing about it is he saw before they prayed about it, but the prayer sure did not hurt them. And not only did he see, I want you to understand, watch how tender his gaze is. He says, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. What is he seeing? He said, I'm seeing your heartache. I see your tears. I see your burdens. I see your fears. I see the grief and the worry that you have. He's just not looking at the situation and from a broad view, hoping that you kind of cursory looking at it. When God sees, when he says, I see my people, that means that the gaze, how he looks at it, is very intentional. Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen a mother when a child is hurt? Y'all ever seen a mother when a child is hurt? Mothers are so much better than fathers at this, in my experiences. So don't get offended, fathers. When my son, specifically my son, when he hurts himself, I am a man, and I am trying to raise a man. Y'all follow me? When my son falls to swing and scuff his leg, I look at him and I say, get up. You all right? Right? His mother has a totally different gaze. I see the cry, and I say, wipe the tears away. You all right? Keep playing. She sees the cry, and she wipes the tears away herself. She gives him a kiss. She puts a little something on it. She puts a little Neosporin. She want to look at it. It ain't nothing but a little scratch, Kayla. But she want to look at the scratch. Put her good glasses on. Make sure that nothing is wrong with her child. Y'all follow me? When God sees your pain, he looks at your pain like a mother looks at her child. I just don't see that you might be something wrong. God gets close. I don't just know that you crying. I want to know what you crying about. See, my son come to me and said, Daddy, I fell. I said, okay, well, I ain't even really heard what he crying about. All I see is tears, and I say, keep on moving. My wife wants to know all the details. What? How did you fall? Who was pushing you on the swing? You better watch. When she say who was pushing you on the swing, watch out. Because whoever was pushing is about to have a whole problem. But see, who was pushing you on the swing? When you fell, what happened? Did you hit your head? Do you need some ice? Let me get a Band-Aid. And my son just soaks it all up. He said, oh. As a matter of fact, when he hurts himself, he don't even want to come to see me. He'll walk, he hurt himself. I said, come here. He said, I want mama. And the reason why he wants mama is because he knows that she has a tender gaze. She looks intentionally on what is wrong with her child. When God says, I see the affliction of my people, he's saying, I didn't just kind of look at it like Darwin looks at Levi. I got down and looked at every detail in it, just like a mother would when a child is hurt. And now I'm starting to activate somebody to help you. Not only does he see him, he says, I have heard their cry. Consider the life of the Israelites. They're working under unbearable conditions. Their sons are being born only to die at the king's command. Y'all realize how bad this is. They're not just being born. Their sons are being born to a death sentence. Sound like black men. I'm sorry. I mean, they're being born. Y'all, I was serious about that. Why are you playing? It's rough for black men out here. Good, bad, or indifferent. It don't matter if you're a smart man or you. It's rough for men of color in America. That ain't my sermon, but since I dropped it off, I might as well. But their sons are being born to die at the king's command. They are discouraged. They are crying out in prayer, but God hears their prayer. I want you to go to Psalms 34 and verse 4 really quickly, really quickly. We're getting ready to get through with this lesson. Psalms 34 and verse 4, and somebody else get 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. Psalms 34 and 4. It's really simple. He said, I sought, this is David speaking, real simple. He said, I sought the Lord and he answered me. But this is what I love. And he delivered me from all of my fears. Amen. David says, when I called on the Lord, he heard me. But not only did he hear me, he then delivered me from all of my fears. When God hears his people, he hears, and he sure enough hears. Now, I told you about my son, and I told you that when my son scratches his knee, I tell him, keep on going. But let me tell y'all the truth. When my daughter cries, it's a totally different story. When my daughter cries, I want to hear everything. I want to know what happened. I want to know when it started, when it stopped, who was there, how much they breathed, all of those things. I want to hear. When God hears his children, he delivers them. But I love what David says. He doesn't just deliver me from whatever it is that I'm dealing with at that point in time. He says that he delivers me from all of my fears. Why? That's the reason why I brought up my daughter. When something happens to my daughter, I can help her with that situation. But as a father, what I really want to do is I want to make sure that she feels confident in any situation like that in the future. Y'all follow me? That's how God deals with us. God doesn't just help us in the situation that we're in. He also helps us for future fears. Who has 2 Chronicles? Who has 7 Chronicles? 7, 13 and 14. Anybody have that?
If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven,
yes, sir,
and will pour their
He said, it don't matter what is going on. I can shut the heavens up. I can send a supernatural event. But if my people call me, if my people call me with the right mindset, if my people call on me, I am going to hear them. I am so glad that all I have to do is call on God's name. And it doesn't matter what is going on, what situation I'm in, what's happening on the outside, what I'm dealing with on the inside, when I call on God, he hears me. I don't even know he's coming, but he's coming. And then this is my favorite. He says, I know their sorrows. I understand the things that they're going through. And then verse 8 is where it all comes together. Verse 8, Exodus 3, verse 8. When God hears, let me get there. Verse 8, when God hears, he says, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land of flowing with milk and honey, the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. God says, I see your pain. I hear you. I know your sorrow. I'm sure I know exactly what's going on. And because God does all of those things, he says, so now I come to deliver you. And then he says to Moses, he says, and guess how I'm going to deliver him? Moses, I'm going to send you. God is always working on behalf of his children. God always is moving and trying to make sure that you're getting the very best. Sometimes we don't even see him coming. But when he comes, he's coming to deliver us. And the thing about it is, my favorite part of this passage of scripture is that when God sends deliverance, nobody else can stop it. Moses went back in Egypt, and when he got down there, he told the Egyptians exactly what God told him to. He said, look, he said, I'm going to tell you, you go down there and you tell them, let my people go. And he said, they ain't going to believe you, but I'm going to send some fire. I'm going to send something miraculous down so they'll know I ain't the one to be played with. See, when you cry out to God and when you struggle with something, call on him and God is going to come. And some folks going to try to stop you. Some folks going to say, no, you ain't getting out of this. But God will send something miraculous so that just to let the people know, my children ain't the one to be played with. You mess around with everybody else's kids, but the ones that belong to me, you're going to have to deal with some tough stuff. When I say let them go, let them go. I think about it all the time when I walk in. I was giving a speech at my dad's retirement party. Well, I cried my way through a speech at my dad's retirement party. But anyway, I was giving a speech at my dad's retirement party, and I was telling him about a situation when I was a sophomore in high school, and a teacher, I made an A on the final. I mean, I studied and made an A on the final. And a teacher was going to give me an F. And the reason why she was going to give me an F was because she had decided that it was no way in the world that I made an A. She said, he cheated. And I said, no, I didn't cheat. And she really didn't have any evidence that I cheated. And she couldn't have found any evidence that I cheated because I didn't cheat. Now, I done cheated before on some stuff. But on that test, I didn't cheat. Come on. Let some of y'all looking like, oh, yeah, y'all cheated too. Stop playing. All y'all didn't graduate just by yourself. Cut it out. But what I'm trying to say is, so what happened is she was going to fail me even though I had made a perfect score on the test. Guess what I did? I walked up out of that class and I went down to the library and I called my mother and I said, Mama, get in touch with Daddy. Mama said, I'm on my way. I said, no. You don't come. Get Daddy. Daddy walked up in that building. He looked at me. He said, what happened? I told him, she doing me wrong. He said, did you study? I said, yeah. He said, you cheat? I said, no. He said, let's go. We walked in that classroom, and he told that lady, I don't know about the rest of these kids, but my kids you're going to have to let go. Now, how you want to play this? When you call on your God and he sends deliverance, they don't even see him coming. But when he get there, ain't no stopping it. You're going to have some trouble this week. Somebody going to bother you. Call on God. They ain't going to see him coming. But it don't matter. When he get there, they're going to have to let you go. It don't matter what he hears your cry. He knows your pain. He sees the things that you're going through. And he is sending deliverance right now. He is working out your deliverance right now. Amen. The Bible says that God is a very present help in a time of trouble. I told you this before, the word present has a prefix. The prefix is pre-sent. That means that when you get there, God has already worked it off because he pre-sent. He was there before you got there. And when you got there, he already fixed it. And there you go. I love the idea that God is already working out my problems. I cried and said, these kids are going to be crazy when they come back in August, Lord. Help me. And God in there fixing it up. And he's a very present help. So when I walk in to August 5th and them kids get off the bus on August 5th and they got crazy written all on their face, it don't matter. God already fixed it. He heard my cry. Somebody going to bother you this week. Don't worry. They ain't going to even see him coming. But when he get there, case closed. I love the fact that my God leaves no doubt when he shows up. Ain't no doubt. They might act like they don't understand it. But when God came and he showed Pharaoh that he was showing up God, he let them folks go. Now, Pharaoh got silly, and after he let him go, he said, wait a minute, I should have let him go. Let me go get him back. And when he started working to get him back, God kept on showing him. And Pharaoh didn't catch it. When the plagues came, he didn't catch it. And then finally, Lord said, here we go. We finna cross this sea. And Pharaoh said, it's all right, I'm going to go get him. And God said, I told you, follow him in the water if you want to. And it said, Pharaoh's army died. Pharaoh's army drowned in the sea. Now, imagine what Pharaoh was like when he had to go back to Egypt with no army. Yeah, you notice it didn't say Pharaoh died. Pharaoh's army died in the sea. That means that he had to go back to a whole land of people without an army that he had and try to explain to the people how in the world he let the Israelites get away and he lost the army. God don't make no mistakes. This week is going to be a good week because they ain't going to see him coming. Whatever you go through, just ask God. They ain't going to see him coming. But sure enough, he's coming. He's already working on your deliverance. So right now, God is preparing a Moses to come and help you. And guess what? Let me help you with this. This is the last thing I'm going to say because it's time to go. But be careful because the person that God might send to help you get through your struggle could be somebody that you rejected early on. What you mean? Why you say that? Remember, Moses tried to help the Israelites 40 years earlier. And they said, who are you? Are you our judge? So be careful now. Don't block your blessing because you don't like where your deliverance comes from. Be careful. Just stay close to God because your Moses might be somebody that you have already decided you don't like. My daddy does a little silly stuff. I love it, though. When we were little, I don't know if he doesn't do it anymore now, but he would buy my mother a really nice gift, and then he would wrap it in a Frosted Flakes box. Right. Now, my mother, being the person that she is, it would open up the Frosted Flakes box, and she would say, oh, Darwin. I don't, want to throw the box back. And daddy would just giggle. Hey, and he said, you're not going to open my gift? I don't want no Frosted Flakes no. And he would say, man, he would mess with my sister and I say, boy, your mama low down. She won't even accept the gift I give. And then after a while, He would say, no, I'm going to open the gift. And he would open, she would reach through and open up the gift, and it might be a pair of diamonds. She almost threw a whole pair of diamond earrings away because she didn't like the package. Be careful. God is working on a Moses for you to come and deliver you, but he might send them in a package you don't like. You better not miss your blessing because you don't like when it comes. Go ahead and stand to your feet. My wife said, I got to do better on my invitation. Stand up to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. If you are in need of a spiritual blessing, this is where it starts. Hear me real clear. Jesus sent his son, God sent his son down, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. And when he died on the cross for your sins, he did it so that you will be able to attach yourselves to those kind of blessings, that kind of deliverance that Moses brought the children of Israel. Jesus is the ultimate deliverer. He's the ultimate deliverer. You might be going through something. Right now, you're saying, I just don't know how I'm gonna get through this. The best thing you can do is call on Jesus. Don't you be, you know, that the Bible says in Timothy that they have a religion without power. What they're saying is that they walking around saying they believe in Jesus, but they really don't because they don't attest, they don't believe in the power that he has. Jesus did. He hung, bled, and down the cross, rose again on the third day. Believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess the name of Jesus. And then be baptized. Once you do that, you have activated all of your spiritual gifts. And you say, well, I already did that, but I'm still needing some type of deliverance. Come on down. And what God has done is he's allowed us to help each other to be able to overcome those things that we may face. You can do that right now as we sing the song of invitation.